Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Why do I have already 5 dislikes? Just because Chet Hanks has been canceling White Boy Summer. He's been... This has happened before. We are in a world where news repeat themselves. I remember Chet Hanks back in the days when he came out with White Boy Summer. Eventually disavowed it. Now he disavows it again in NBC News, saying, oh, well, it was just about fly white boys having fun and dating people of all races. No, that's not what white boys do. And I wanted to bring it up as a main subject tonight because I feel that there is a new form of anti-white racism. I've heard 2 examples of it. It's the anti-white racism where being white is bad, except if you are a fly white dude or if you are a surfer dude. We've had Lily recently say, I'm not a white nationalist. When I date white boys, they are surfer dudes. And we have here Chet Hanks saying, I made the concept of White Boy Summer for fly white dudes. So there is kind of a subgroup of white males who kind of get an apology. They get their reparations, if you will. They are considered not evil by the left. And yeah, you have to kind of poke this 3D space to find out what it is, but it's a surfer dude. It's a guy with long hair. It's a guy who dates a black woman. It's a fly white dude, according to Chet Hanks. People are fucking retarded. I've been arguing with women on Twitter today. On a comment I've done, which is someone had predicted the era of long-term monogamous relationships was over. We'll go through his tweet, but he makes some social analysis like this is down, this is up, this is the trend, this is the trend. And I was like, no matter what the trend is, evolution will correct it. Solid couples are not done with because solid couples are still the way you get a family of 5, 6, 7 children, which is the only families that will survive in the long run. It's hard to believe for these people that, oh yeah, the fact that you want just 1 or 2 child, it means that you're due for disappearing. We'll get through the whole debate, but people are retarded. There are women arguing with me on this thread saying, I can't believe you just said, did you just say that political preferences and religious preferences are caused by genetics? Ha ha ha! I will stop engaging with you. It's like, yeah, okay, you can stop engaging with me. It doesn't change the reality. Twin studies are very clear on this. I mean, this is stuff that we were educating people about literally 10 years ago on the internet. I mean, I've not been talking about these scientific subjects just because I don't want to be too repetitive. But these people have totally missed it, and now they act and they live as if genes don't cause anything in humanity. It's all about culture. Well, the culture will change. No. Even if it's the culture. And this is where they should read the Revolutionary Phenotype. The culture will get reprinted. The culture is subject to trickster printing. Chapter 9. The culture will get kicked out by genes if it's not good for the genes. So in the end, the culture always ends up in the service of the genes. Naberius says, did you just say facts and use logic? I mean, that's the point at which I am. Fortunately, my personal happiness does not rely on the public space anymore, does not rely on these public engagement, because I would be in a depression. Thankfully, I have such joyful moments in my life with a wonderful wife, wonderful family that we have together, and I do programming. I do programming. Oh, Defenestrator says, it was your tone, JF. It's not... It's not what you say. It's your tone. I've been programming all day, digging into a new area that I didn't know much about, which are modern gaming engines. Because let me tell you guys, and I don't want... I mean, when I get into crazy projects, some of them don't work, some of them work. But I started programming a game. And I would like to program a game. And I've been learning and digging into modern game engines. And let me tell you, it's fantastic what's out there. I've never been so excited about... Even if I was to fail at making my own game, what I see is very active communities of people who make stuff available to everyone. They make their gaming engines open source. There's the Godot engine, absolutely great. I mean, it sucks in many ways because it tries to do too high level sometimes. And sometimes you have to bring it down a notch. You know, sometimes it tries to handle everything too much at the same time. But it is great. It is high performance. And oh my God, end of the line, Joel has already guessed what direction I'm taking. The revolutionary Minecraft. Yes, I am making a game that is that has some features of a Minecraft-like and some features of my thinking about biology. I want a game where you exploit ecological systems, where you build ecological systems. So that's where I'm headed. And I want it to be a competitive game. So I just don't want an open space like Minecraft. I want basically Minecraft, but competitive gaming and tied to biology. And I think there is a space to exploit in the gaming world. We don't quite have this. Godot engine, very good. C++ engines, and they've already built the base that allows you to all have the 3D world, the voxels. There's a lot of very talented people out there who have made it super easy and super beautiful. Defenestrator says, I hope there's an eternal white boy summer in the revolutionary Minecraft. Oh yeah, that would be a good team. Maybe a season. Maybe if I have an ecological system and... You know, some creatures get some advantages during white boy summer. End of the line, Joel says, did you ever play Spore? No, I didn't, but I will have to because, that is what I kind of want to do. Although I've not been attracted by Spore. But certainly, if I now do my game on this team, I certainly will have to. I will have to play it to see what the competition is out there. Shamrock Shake says, "How are you bringing in biology into the game?" Well, the goal of the game is to inseminate a planet. Basically, it's a game where you seed life forms and your life forms compete and they have reproductive cycles and you exploit the environment to build different directions. So you can go parasite, you can go full bacteria, you can go full plant, you can go certain specific animals, and you can go water, you can go air, you can go... Earth. And so basically you need to build from the ground up your ecosystems because you can't just put moose, you can't just never go full bacteria, says end of the line Joel. You can't just put a moose on a planet and hope that he will survive. You know, you have to have the bacteria in place, you have to have the plants, and once you reach a certain amount of ecological complexity, then you can support a moose. And then I want a competitive aspect to this. So I don't want just you to build life forms for 17 hours and then go to sleep. I want the whole thing to happen within an hour so that it's a game. And I want, ultimately, it's my moose against your moose. And it's like, they charge each other and you shoot them with bazookas and they explode and there's blood everywhere. So competitive gaming combined with, it becomes kind of a MOBA. It becomes kind of a, all right, you have your ecosystem. Can you make it strong enough to invade the other people's ecosystem? End of the line, Joel says, set the moose loose. You guys have some good ideas. I mean, set the moose loose. I see this being potentially a marketing a thing. Perhaps some of you in my community will want to participate at some point. For now, it's just me researching the gaming engines and building the basics. So for now, it doesn't require help, but at some point, perhaps I will call for you guys. I expect certainly at least a year before anything becomes playable. But it's a multiplayer, ELO-based competitive system. The multiplayer stuff is has already been beautifully built by a French programmer that has open sourced this stuff. I mean, it's a 3D universe already with multiplayers connected together by a server. Cosmic Nut says, if that's a moose, I'd hate to see the rats. Adair says, a woman has the right to moose. I'm not sure what that means. Is that not sure? Meanwhile, very excited about the developments in the Odyssey sphere. Julian Chandra, chief programmer of Odyssey, says, good morning. On July 10th, we will be releasing our biggest news update regarding Odyssey since 2 years. The Internet Ninjas have been added, ladies and gentlemen. And Julian Chandra seems to be brown, but, you know, I hope that he announces that he will release something like freedom, free streaming, a P2P torrent based, whatever, bro, whatever it takes to protect us from the interventions of governments. Big Tech Exodus says gamifying race realism sounds like a good idea. I mean, yeah, I guess that if you build these ecosystems, at some point it's one ecosystem against the other. It does carry some of this, either they live or you live. It's us or them. Yeah, I guess. 9mm MSG is confessing that he loves spam. I don't know why, but spam is coming back in the conversation these days. Spam. I've not eaten it for maybe 20 years now. I was eating it as a child. Maybe I ate it a couple of times. People are frying spam, apparently, and then putting it in a form of sandwich or tortilla of some kind. This guy put brown sauce on his spam. Brown sauce and some kind of taco base. Well, personally, the spam, I was eating it sliced on uncooked bread, uncooked spam, and mayo. So you make a sandwich of uncooked spam. That is how I was eating it as a child. I don't know why, but there's something about childhood where you like, you know, processed meat. I've not eaten that as an adult. Big Tech Exodus says, I advise to go for light spam. The original type is very salty. I guess that's what you like as a child. It's the salt. Carlota says, Jeff, what's your take on Tim Pool buying a skate park because the leftist skaters had disrespected him. This is a story that is told by Tim Pool here on this video. He spent $850,000 to steal land from woke skateboarders after they threatened him. So basically, I don't think it's a very important story. It was so well, according to the Tim telling of this story. So there were a bunch of skaters who were squatting. They were whatever. They were taking basically ownership of a private land to skate. They said with the permission of the owner. Basically, it was considered an abandoned land, derelict abandoned land. And the owner was interested at selling, and Tim Pool wanted to build a skate park. So at first, he tried integrating their community by offering a price for their tournament of $12,000, $5,000 for the second place, and $2,000, a total of $20,000 that he wanted to give to the local community. And they said no. They said, no, you're a right-winger. Right-wing podcaster, we refuse $20,000 from you. And so Tim Pool showed them who's got the bigger wallet. He bought the entire he bought the entire land on which they were doing their skateboard activities. So I don't think it's an important story. Tim has the right to do this. Tim makes it look like, oh, this was a plan we had for a long time and we were looking for land. It just so happened that I bought this one. I think Tim probably was driven by the emotion of rejection. And it's fine. If you're rejected and you're so more successful than the people rejecting you, you can afford hurting them. You can afford hurting them. And that's what you have to do when you're rejected and when you consider, I'm better than these people. A little bit like I was reading a blog post about Google rejected me and now I'm building a search engine. Well, you go for it, bro. You know, these big companies, they often are unable to find talent. And the guy is telling the story of the interview and why he didn't get employed. And it's like he did a good interview with two of the interviewers. But the third one came in and started asking, how many bits do you need to encode 56 million states? And the guy was like, well, log 2 of 56 million. And he was like, "That, how many bits is that?" And it was like, well, I would have to do the calculation in my head. And so basically, he was not quick enough on an arbitrary calculation, and that's why he got rejected by the third interviewer. I think it's kind of an attitude, and I think that, I mean, big tech do their choices, but if you reject this kind of mind, you reject a certain type of person. I'm a person who might not be able to respond readily on 56 million. Well, 2 to the 10 equals 1,024. 2 to the 10th times 2 to the 10 equals, and he says it equals about 1,048,000. So we got 2 to the 20. Now we have to get to 56. So if I do times 2 to the 4, 2 times 2, 4 times 2, 8 times 2, 16. We have 16 million. That's not enough. 2 to the 5, 32. So basically, you are above 2 to the 25. It's kind of asshole-y to ask these things. Now, if you want the kind of candidate who can do that calculation like this, you're going to have a certain type of mind. And for example, the fact that they haven't taken my offer at Elon Musk, at Grok AI, Elon Musk X AI. Okay, it's okay. It's okay, and I can build something, and I can build other things and use my talents to eventually be in another place of the market, maybe even a competitor at some point. Shamrock Shake says, not surprised considering who is taking over tech. Coinbase has been showing, well, they didn't reject me. They just didn't contact me. So I assume they said that it would take a couple of days before they contact the candidates they're interested in. So I'm assuming that it means rejection. But it's okay. I always said that XAI can work without me. But I have a special type of mind. I have a special type of contributions to make. If you don't take me, you get into another direction. So be it. Coinbase is showing alarming signs. They're starting to ask for these annoying emails. We have received a screenshot of unhosted wallet. However, it does not meet our requirement. Could you please provide a screenshot of the wallet with the name or email ID? As you mentioned that your source of funds and wealth comes from trading, could you please clarify whether this refers to crypto trading or traditional trading? Additionally, could you confirm the primary origin of funds used for trading? So when they start asking these questions, it's time to pull your money out. Never let Coinbase be a keeper of your money, because they will... Eventually, they will block the release, they will block the withdrawals, and then you don't have the money, because they listen to the government and some intelligence agencies tell them, oh, these funds come from Iran. I mean, okay, maybe they do, but I bought them honestly. So how many layers did you have to dig through to find an origin in Iran? Because, and why is it that I'm being blocked? Because something happened to these coins 5 wallets ago. This is hilarious. This is blackpilling on the idea of the punk attitude, the punk revolution. It's always absorbed by the system, and there's nothing left of the original spirit of revolution that inspired music. So look at this punk group. The system will keep you safe. Born in America, baby. As long as you're alive. Maybe DeSantis is gay, hell yeah, brother. And some folks are still racist, so you can't be safe. I mean, this is a safetyism imported into punk music. It sucks. Shamrock Shake says, sounds like pop. Yeah, I mean, characterize it however you want. The fact is, this kind of makeup and this kind of look is a look that is inspired by some kind of an opposing stance to the system. And yet here we have someone repeating what the system has to tell you. Frog Eyes says, rage on behalf of the machine. Oh my God, that is a good one. That is a good one. American Bream says, JF, unfortunately, punk rock has its origin in a ton of Jews. No effects. Kill all the white men, bad religion, you name it. Oh, I'm absolutely aware of this. But see, even that Jewish revolutionary spirit hasn't survived up to this group when you think about it. Because at this point, it's not a revolution against the system. It's siding with the system of oppression against whites. Some people don't take no very well, apparently. So Lily has published her private conversation with Myron Gaines. Myron Gaines was saying, "For moronic woman that went viral with no talent or skill set, it's never been easier to be a female and become famous in 2024. And Lily was at first telling them, "I will be on the Fresh and Fit podcast. I may be able to come." That's what she wrote. And then eventually they said, "All right, we have a spot for you and whenever you can." And then she said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I won't be able to come on. I appreciate you reaching out and going through all the trouble." So, I mean, sometimes I don't think that Lily should be ashamed. She may not feel that she can pass her message as well in this podcast than on her video. Also, she's a single mom of a child. And so sometimes when you're a single parent, there's no one to babysit your child while you go on the plane and you get through all the oops to go to a podcast. So I don't think she should be blamed. She has the right to say no. But then the Fresh and Fit guys are saying, if you were to come, you'd be exposed. Sure, they can also say this. That's maybe she's hiding because she would get exposed. Bizlet says, "Boomers are such fucking morons." So Nigel Farage was saying, "You're welcome to come from anywhere in the world, from any religion. If you share our values, we can live together happily and in peace." That is such a problematic view because someone can profess having the beliefs and they don't have it, or they have it, but their children won't have it. So to maintain a civilization, it's not enough to just do, "Oh yeah, do you like the American constitutions? Oh, come in." No, it needs more than this. There needs to be a selection event that seeks people who are liberty seeking, who are aligning with the values of your constitution. And I'm afraid that current immigration is unable to guarantee this. Biden has announced through the White House that he is absolutely not considering quitting the race. So we have a Biden who is staying. I did have the impression that the Sean Hannity revelation, he was saying, "I have a scoop. Biden will be announcing that he's giving up the race." Well, you got fooled, Sean. Very poor journalism. Here you got fooled by these DM people who come to you and they give you a very credible story. And it's like, "I know for sure." And they come to me too, Sean. But I don't report stuff that I can't verify to be true. And you did. My brush with racism as a 29-year-old white woman. Disclaimer, I am in no way trying to make this tense national situation about me or say that I'm a victim. I'm just sharing a personal anecdote. Feel free to delete if it's not appropriate. I'm a 29-year-old single mom to an 8-year-old biracial son. When me and my son's father dated, I came across a bit of racist behavior, but it wasn't ever outright hatred, to my face, anyway. It was usually more like a backhanded comment or inappropriate language. For instance, my one hick cousin kept calling him my N-word boyfriend. My mom, my friends, and my colleagues all loved my boyfriend and never said a negative word about him. I can't recall a time we ever got harassed in public or anything like that. It was only when I started trying to date as a single mother when I realized how deep, underlying, and unspoken racism can be." Of course, she becomes a single mother. And she says, now she discovers racism. In the 7 or so years I've been single, I have casually dated maybe 25 to 30 white men. 100% of them have broke up with me within 1 to 2 weeks of learning that I dated a black man. / that I have a biracial son. It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat, manly or geeky, tall or short, skinny or fat, introvert or extrovert, they all leave. Some have actually told me outright that they think less of me because of my past. Some will say they don't want to date me long term, but they still fuck me. No thanks, hassle. Most will just cook up a completely transparent bullshit excuse, and I never hear from them again. Well, yeah. The thing that I'm surprised about is that they learn late in your conversation that you are the mother of a biracial son. It seems like it's something you should say on the first contact. Like, if I have a woman showing interest in me, I expect that within the first phone conversation or close to it, she, before we even meet, she will tell me that she is the mother of a biracial son. I would do the same on my side if I was dating as a single father. It seems basic, but if you take weeks and you actually become their girlfriend before you tell them that, of course, they will be shocked. And you have to filter away the people who are not willing to live with you because of this past bad decision. And Snappy on Twitter had the absolute comeback. Why doesn't she just date another black man? So you're telling me that you can come back from black. You know, you tried black once and now you dated 25 to 30 white men. My God. You have learned your lesson, and perhaps you have become racist yourself. Very interesting choice pattern here. Shamrock Shake says, would you date a girl with a white son? There were times in my life where I would have. There are other times in my life where it didn't fit well with my life. So I wouldn't have. And now I'm at the time of my life where I would only have taken a very, very good wife in, and I found her. So there are times in my life where I would have made the imperfect choice, but now in my life I can afford making the best choice, and I'm so happy that I could. Tucker Carlson will interview Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky. Very nice. I can't wait for this interview. I think that Tucker Carlson might throw some stuff at Zelensky. And if Zelensky accepts, it's kind of weird to me. Because I think that Zelensky cannot be faced with honest, destructive questions from a hostile interviewer. So if this is true, I'm very surprised that Zelensky accepted. And it may mean that Zelensky is self-destructive at this point. Because I don't see him coming out of this good. And yes, DK Shadow says Tucker will throw softballs. That's entirely possible. That Tucker will want to balance his interview with Putin. And Putin, he wasn't super harsh toward him. And so perhaps he will just let Zelensky speak. But Tucker will have to ask at least one or two tough questions. And the tough questions for Zelensky, I'm not sure that he can look good when he answers them. So the critical strategy of Zelensky has been to be with such friendly media figures who are sympathetic to the continuation of the war. With Tucker, it's another thing. He's going to have a certain obligation based on his base, based on what he's been saying in the past, to go hard against Zelensky. Naberius says, maybe Zelensky is ready to throw the West under the bus. It does sound like it. It does sound like a suicidal type of decision. where perhaps Zelensky has spoken to his wife and his wife was saying she was tired of him being a president and she couldn't wait for going under the sun, taking a retirement. So perhaps that's the early retirement that she's been asking for. Vivek Ramaswamy, let me tell you, I would be very enthusiastic if Trump named him a VP. If Trump named Vivek Ramaswamy VP, I might actually be enthusiastic again about the Trump campaign. He says, here's how to dismantle the administrative state once and for all, both top-down and bottom-up. The next White House sends a constitutionally trained lawyer into every agency to ruthlessly apply the major questions doctrine. Regulations with large economic impacts could be rescinded by executive action. A future president couldn't resuscitate them either. Congress would have to pass a law to restore them. It's a one-way ratchet. At the same time, under last week's Loper versus Raimondo decision, federal courts are no longer required to defer to agencies' interpretation of the law. That means it's ripe for private sector actors to file lawsuits challenging unconstitutional regulations and agencies' actions across the board. Different judges will reach different conclusions, but the overall effect will be to thin out the jungle of agency diktats. Combine that with a 75% headcount reduction in the federal bureaucracy, plus the total abolition of many agencies, and you have the makings of a national revival. It's time to declare independence from managerial tyranny. It's time to shut it down. Well, I like what I hear. If Vivek can be there, and even if Trump is not willing to drain the swamp, perhaps Vivek is enthusiastic enough to be doing such a culling of American bureaucracy. I would enjoy this. So if Trump can name Vivek as a vice president candidate, I will be rooting for Trump, because I've been lacking any excitement because Trump is giving us nothing. Like, just a tweet like this is wonderful. We don't even get this from Trump. And yes, Trace Channel says, and he didn't even mention crypto. Well, we know that Vivek Ramaswamy will be a pro-crypto person. If anything, he's probably the one pushing Trump in this the direction. So what else do we have? We had this main story. Chedang's response to hate groups who adopted his white boy summer meme. Tom Hanks' son wrote in an Instagram post on Wednesday that he condemned the use of white boy summer as a hateful rallying cry. Chedang's son of actor Tom Hanks has inadvertently emboldened white supremacists and other hate groups, according to a recent report from the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism. The younger Hanks jokingly coined the phrase white boy summer, sometimes abbreviated as WBS, in 2021. Building off of trends such as rapper Megan Thee Stallion's Hot Girl Summer, Hanks said the phrase was intended to promote an embrace of fly white boys. See, that's interesting. There's a way to be a white boy where the leftists will tolerate you. It's if you are a fly white boy. So maybe people can educate me on the regular chat. What exactly is a fly white boy? I'm imagining some kind of the offspring looking type of dude who's hanging out in LA, maybe who's dressed with layers of golden necklaces. What is a fly white boy? I think he's inconsequential. End of the Line Joel says Vanilla Ice circa 1990. Okay. My brain is like looking through cultural references, and I'm like, oh, I don't, that doesn't give me a better idea. DK Shadow says, think Jeff Holliday. Okay. A cock, says John Drake. Yeah, Jeff Holliday. So, leather jacket, kind of a boomer, a young boomer. Is it correct to say that a fly white boy is a young boomer? It's the new generation of boomers. Now, Hanks is responding to the co-opting of his social media movement by extremists a day after the report was written about it in the New York Times. In an Instagram post uploaded on Wednesday, Hanks clarified that White Boy Summer is all about love. White Boy Summer was created to be fun, playful, and a celebration of fly white boys who love beautiful queens of every race. Ah! Why? Why do you have to kneel to the anti-white establishment, Chet Hanks? Kneel to the black queen? Ah, man, you totally break my enthusiasm. This totally ends White Boy Summer for me. No, beautiful queens of every race. Why do you have to be so apologetic? Why do you have to be kneeling to the system? I'm so disappointed in Chet Hanks, because when you invent something that is great, you should stand by it. You should stand by it against all. Like, I stand by the revolutionary phenotype against all these idiots trying to argue with me on Twitter, not making a good argument at all. You stand with your creation and you bring it down into the tomb with you. You die with it. But people of this generation, they're always apologizing. They're always standing back, withdrawing, walking back their statements, and it gives them nothing. We have here a guy who has taken it upon himself to go inform multiracial couples that they are ruining the white race.
You guys know race mixing was illegal up until 2000. Huh? Race mixing was illegal up until 2002. Oh, you're going to give up 50,000 years of evolution if you mix up with this dude.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give it to him. This form of the white woman has been achieved through like 50,000 years of separation from African breeding. That's literally what leads to the difference. And more than 50,000, yes, 200,000 maybe, something like this, something in between those two extremes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that this woman is incredulous, and of course she's going to take the side of her black boyfriend. But I love that this discussion is happening under the freedom of America. This guy is making arguments, is presenting them, and down the line, when she's a single mom in 20 years from now, she might think back of this conversation differently. That's why you should never be turned down by a rejection, an emotional rejection of your argument, because it's going to work inside of her. That, oh, you know, there was a guy on the street who seemed to know more about the outcome that I've gone through than myself. King Anus says she won't. Well, even if she doesn't, it will still resonate as a form of guilt that, hey, I had to ignore a lot of truths before I got there. I had to ignore a lot of people. I had to separate myself from a lot of people who were telling me I'm making an error. And all of it stacks. And I hope that it will stack in some form of realization.
But you just look awkwardly.
No, you realize that race makes, it's going to give up 50,000 years of your evolution, awkwardly. Right? There's 2 billion of those people being born because of...
Did you know that it's actually better evolutionary to like...
No, it's not.
Oh, based eugenicist race mixer rising. She's going for the argument of hybrid vigor. Oh, she wants to argue that mixing is always better. Of course, there's various positions on this, but generally the hybrid vigor argument. There's people like Brett Weinstein who have argued that hybrid vigor only happened because we were farming the plant species. And hybrid vigor only happened because we were so specializing. We were so working on, oh, I want this flower to be purple. And I'm going to just select the purple. And in our obsession to be selecting those plant species, we have created highly defective plant species. And so if you were always selecting for this flower to be purple and always selecting for this flower to be pink, you put them together, suddenly the defects that you have farmed in this race are different than the defects you have farmed in this race, and therefore you have a single generation kind of edge that the babies that will be produced by the purple and pink flower will be stronger. Now, this has been observed in plants that we have been farming over a couple hundred years at most, or maybe 1,000 years if you want to go for historical plants that we've carried for a long time. But that is perhaps not comparable. The domestication and the extreme selection of plants may not be comparable to the separation of two races who have evolved their characteristics out of the environmental selection of being in Europe, being in a winter nation, versus being in Africa and being faced with a hotter nation. So hybrid vigor may be not a general law of nature for sure. It may be an artifactual observation of highly human selected species.
I'm not going to talk science. I'm a scientist.
Oh, she is a scientist. You're going to be wasting all these scientist genes?
I'm not going to talk about this.
Literally, you're.
And I love it. It's the black guy who's shutting it down. Well, we have here a first realization of the incompatibility. I mean, you were a strong woman here, ready to argue your point. You're a scientist. And your black boyfriend is not comfortable with your freedom of speech. He's shutting you down already.
You're just throwing down your...
Could this black boyfriend have come up with the First Amendment? Not sure.
Genetic line.
For show.
Pretty much you're just LARPing. You're LARPing as a European in America. If you had any actual like heart and integrity,
sorry, I'm not in breathing. Oh, she is sorry. She is sorry that she's not in breathing. Now, that's another thing that we often hear in race arguments. So we had hybrid vigor. That was the first thing coming out of her. Now we have the inbreeding argument. How is having sex with just whites not inbreeding? Because the white race is large enough genetically for most white people who interbreed to not fall within the very, very close genetic network that you need to be in to suffer from interbreeding defects. This network, by the way, is like within the first four layers of cousins. Now, if you fuck your cousin, you might have the negative effects of inbreeding. If you fuck your second cousin, yes. If you fuck your third degree cousin, yes. If you fuck your fourth degree cousin, you're already out of the space of likelihood of having recessive genetic defects.
Are you done?
What are you, a Jew?
Are you done?
Are you Jewish?
No, fuck no, man.
This guy comes to White Knight and he says, are you done? Are you done? Are you done? Not an argument. And then the guy who's asking the questions behind the camera says, are you Jewish? And he says, no, fuck no. Well, what do we have here? Some specific anti-Jewish racism? Okay. I think I just understood, because I wasn't understanding. How is a leftist saying, no, fuck no, I'm not Jewish? It's the rise of these pro-Palestinian cuck leftists. That's why he says, you can say no, fuck no. He's not an anti-Semite racist against Jews, because here he is defending the girl who's race mixing. He is a pro-Palestinian liberal leftist. That's why he says fuck no to the question of being a Jew.
Are you done, though?
No, but I'm saying the truth.
Hold on.
I am a scientist and you
stop
are
it.
Wrong.
Stop. He's saying,
I am a scientist and you are wrong.
Hey, it's done now. It's done.
Stop. You think hybrid vigor is a thing?
Bro, film me.
This guy is probably a listener of Blood Sports content. Perhaps me. Perhaps he watched me. Perhaps he watches Nick Fuentes. But he knows the argument. He knows it was an hybrid vigor argument.
Okay. Film me. Just stop. Stop that shit.
What are you, some SJW warrior?
Dude, I don't give a fuck.
Hey,
it's done.
White people are only 7% of the world's population.
He knows that white people are only 10% of the population, and this guy says, that's me.
And I'm part of that.
Oh, you are part of the white race. So you are part of the minority racial group in the world.
And it's done now.
And if we
Oh, it's done now. So you are a self-destructive white. You wish for the disappearance of the white race.
Whatever you're doing is done.
If we intermix, we're going to become...
Who gives a fuck, dude?
Well, maybe you don't give a fuck. You can go mix. But the guy with the cell phone gives a fuck. And I think in general, from just a conservationist perspective, like, I don't want whales to disappear. I don't want pandas to disappear, and I don't want white people to disappear.
Give a fuck, because we're the only creators of society.
No, we're not.
And now it falls. This guy is really into the blood sport stuff. He knows his race arguments. Now it falls onto the white people have created wonderful society. Now, he says, no, it's not. There are other people creating wonderful societies.
No, we ain't.
Net migration only flows into white country. No, it doesn't flow into...
Just stop.
Exactly.
Stop.
Hey, name me one black country that you would want to move to.
Name me one...
And we don't get an answer. He is pulled away. But the question was very good. Name me one black country you want to immigrate to.
Yes, name me one black country that you would move to.
This is my guy right here. Just go.
Yeah. Name me one black or brown country that you would move to. Everybody moves into white countries. Everyone moves into white countries for a reason. Yeah.
Oh, he's getting saved by the friends because he didn't have an answer for this one. One black country or brown country you would want to move to. Frog Eyes says, at best, they will respond South Africa. Yeah, well, you better land in the right place in South Africa. Wow. We're seeing blood sports taken to the streets and beautiful representation of arguments here. beautifully executed. I think this guy, it's not his first video because there was another video very similar where he was calling out some white girl with, I think this guy is doing it as a job at this point. Well, that's beautiful. Signal had made a prediction. I said, you can't make socially based prediction without taking into account the question of evolution. He says, the era of long-term monogamous relationship is fortunately or unfortunately over. Sure, there will be exceptions, but this is likely the rule going forward. Evolution takes time, but it happens for sure. And as long as monogamous relationships are the most productive couples, as long as when I walk around here on the side country in Canada, when I see a family of 7 children, systematically, I see the father and the mother. They're still together. And when I see a single child, then I can see the mother alone, being a single mom with him, or the father alone. Definitely, monogamous couples that stay together for all life are the most fertile and productive couples. For this reason, I predict that monogamy will make a comeback. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of 10, 20, 40 years. The system is not sustainable of being a leftist, going through the whole divorce process, losing years of your life to destroy commonly acquired wealth, all of this to make one child, while the neighbor in a stable couple makes 7. Evolutionarily unsustainable, but let's still read his argument. The reasons that existed in the past to support these no longer exist. Needing one another, particularly woman needing men, and therefore these relationships are more convenience-driven than a true necessity. Well, psychological necessity is not what drives evolution. What drives evolution is the productivity of reproduction. Even if you have a kid, that kid is also increasingly likely to be a part of a divorced household, which results in negative developmental outcomes. Well, that's a circular argument. You're trying to convince me that monogamous relationships are over, and you're saying here, well, the kids are coming from divorced households. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same statement here. You haven't provided the justification for why this state of thing would sustain through time. Most women's standards are insanely high. They want 11 out of 10 or a solo consumption-driven life now. Give me the best or nothing at all is a completely okay outcome. Well, the women who think like this are discarding themselves from evolution. So the women of the future are not like this. Women have infinite access to men at scale for whatever purpose. That access exists even after she is married. For example, dudes sliding into DMs will never stop, etc. Once the brain establishes an abundant mindset like this, it's extremely difficult for women to settle even in their 30s. Well, that's a dating reality. But as long as they don't make babies, it's not the dating reality of the future. Women don't make the trade-offs, moving away from the requirements like height and expecting flawlessness from men that would be necessary to sustain these types of relationship anymore. Even if they manage to move past the selection phase, for instance, the dating apps, which is increasingly unlikely, see 11 out of 10 or nothing rule above. Lots of men, women only desire these relationships because that's the content they see floats to the top and gets great engagement. For instance, 2 attractive people posting their perfect relationship. but the realities of relationships are greater than just having fun / posting on Instagram. Doesn't matter. Whatever the pains of relationship are, and let me tell you, being with a first woman who doesn't have a destructive mindset in my life, I can tell you that relationships can be absolutely awesome. It's all a matter to have a woman who's not a fucking terrorist. And I had to go through 200 women before I found one. But that's all I ever wanted. Just not a terrorist. Be not a fucking abuser. Basically, 99% of the women out there are abusers. That's the problem. And if women could stop being abusers, it would go great. It goes totally great in my current relationship. All of this because I don't have an agent of hatred in my house. I have a woman who wants to make my life good and who wants to make her own life good in the process. That is all that it takes. Chuck Garrity says, one great woman is all that one needs. Absolutely. It totally showed me that throughout all of these bad experiences, I wasn't the problem. These 200 exes of mine, they were all sick in the fucking head because all I needed is a woman who sees the world through positive lens, who wants the relationship to be positive. If you just want this, you're not going to get much force from me. You're not going to get me trying to exploit this state of affair. But you need to want this, because if you want the relationship to crash, then you are a terrorist agent in my life. Most men have moved on to keep busy with gaming, porn, etc. And the low testosterone levels across the board indicate that most men are no longer driven by the primitive impulses to have sex, but instead are consumed by dopamine rushes like women. Well, whoever falls for these baits like porn, gaming, and who doesn't reproduce in the process will be discarded by evolution. So even if there was a low testosterone phenomenon that you've identified, and even if that was true, the people who reproduce will carry forward higher testosterone males in the future. So I reject this hypothesis. It was based on this picture of a woman saying, I'm genuinely scared of love in our generation. Well, stop being scared and start investing in building a life for you and your husband and just make it the center of your life for him to be pleased and happy. And you're going to be doing well. If you're scared of love and you keep dipping yourself out of the pool as soon as you can, it's not going to work very well. Konstantin Kissin here never hesitates to side with jury against anyone who shows up against it. And Candace Owen has been on a roll. Yesterday, I didn't make a show, so I thought, if you need content, go watch the clip that I retweeted about Candace. It's a 4-minute clip, and she goes through World War II and the big lies that were told. She is really going strong. Now, there's a whole meme going around that, oh, she's a flat earther now. I don't think she's a flat earther based on what she's saying in this clip.
No matter what, if there's a bunch of people that believe something, I now want to know what it is that they believe. And of course, he pushed me on this and he was talking about the earth curvature and science. And I said to him, listen, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not a round earther. Actually, what I am is I am somebody who has left the cult of science. I have left the mega church of science. Because what I have now realized is that science, what it is actually, if you think about it, is a pagan faith. No matter what, if there's a bunch of...
That is strong, very strong. Even I, as a scientist, I do understand and I advocate that you should not let your morals be penetrated by the cult of science, which basically is the cult of liberal morality, but that disguises itself as truth. Because if you use science for what it's meant to be, which is the discovery of the truth about the empirical world, then that's all good. But the fact is, science comes packaged. It comes packaged with harmful beliefs. And you can see it when you have Neil deGrasse Tyson starting to argue about, the continuum of sex, and when you have this clown who was with the song My Vagina, Bill Nye, the science guy, this fucking clown, when they start submitting science, enslaving the process of science to a liberal ideology, you realize that a lot of it came packaged with, secretly, deceptively. So you have to be very careful. If you want to approach science, I approach it in the way that totally isolates my moral from it. And you can see the conclusion it leads you to. I mean, if you approach science just for the truth, you're going to end up talking about race and the realities of it. Now, it's going to lead you to be rejected by the mainstream scientists. And that is a proof in and of itself that these mainstream scientists are ultimately not interested in the pursuit of truth. They're interested in the secret packaging of science with liberal priors. Nick Fuentes has a new studio, and I consider myself an expert of the homemade do-it-yourself studio setups. And so let us review the new studio of Nick Fuentes. Oh my God, the ferns. Ah! Well, very good mic. That's a good mic. Excellent mic. The desk is okay. It is pretty horizontally aligned so that it's perfectly occupying the same space on the left and the right. Perfect arrimation between the desk and the camera. Excellent angle toward Nick. But the color contrast and the brown theme and the theme of brown being combined with jungle fern colors is a little bit deserving of improvement. First, you went too brown and green. We need some gray here. Here's the problem. Look at my setup. Gray, pale gray, gray patterns, grayish brown, gray, dark gray. Why? Because ultimately you are the interesting thing on the screen. You are the I don't see Nick Fuentes popping up from this decor. Why? Because the green is too dominant. So your neutral color is brown. Okay, that's a decision you've made. It gives it this kind of 70s, Murray Show in the Joker type of look. Okay, maybe you don't have to go gray. But then combining this brown with the green here, the green is too flashy. And it removes the Nick Fuentes importance from the screen. And I'm paying way too much attention to these little greenish patterns here. So reduce the green, improve the neutrality. That being said, I'm super happy that Nick Fuentes went for a live in studio look, because I always hated the green screen type of thing. You have to build a studio if you want to be serious about news delivery. The lighting is okay, but the lighting is unfortunately applied to elements that suck. So I need more neutrality. I need to get away from the green here. The green is an error here. I'm looking, for example, at your tie, Nick. Your tie being red should be the most spectacular thing on the screen. But no, my visual attention is being brought to the gradient of light here. We have a more flashy color in the fern. And by the way, having ferns in a studio is so kitsch that it's actually a joke between two ferns. It's all this setup with ferns has already been made as a joke. There's a show named Between Two Ferns, which is a parodic performance of an interview show. Between Two Ferns. You cannot redo something that's already a joke and try to make it real. You have to change these ferns for something more structural, woody, and neutral. That being said, those are comments to bring your work from a 95% acceptable to 100% perfect studio look. That being said, I think that Nick Frontes did a great job. The base is there. It's just that this is too complex of a deployment. Like, this is attracting. The visuals of men are based on separation of form. So in your retina, you already have processes that are detecting edges. So edge detection is a very important thing. Not only do you want the background to be more neutral than you as a human, you want the edge detection feature of the entire background to have less edge than the human face. Here's the problem I'm faced with here. I look here, I have better edges than the edges of the human reality and the suit. So now this is attracting my visual attention. Too many lines, yes. Boiling Frog is right. Lines are edges, lines of each of the leaves of the ferns. So now, if I have eye visual attention, my eyes, they go toward the fern. And now I become this kind of biologist, Jurassic Park style. I want to walk through the forest and... It's not supposed to be that way. I'm supposed to be paying visual attention to you. And as far as this framing goes, this city type of framing, I think you could have, you could find something better than this, because really the city is that Chicago, it's lighted in green. Like, for example, I used logs, actual logs, that I tacked onto a plywood, onto a 2x4, like a piece of wood. I used actual product from my local reality, which is logs, and they are neutral, they are natural, they are not invasive to the eye. You should pick something like this. You don't have to do it with logs, but you should pick something that signifies where you are, what kind of guy you are. The logs, they already speak to the audience, and you could find your equivalent. You could find your inner log. Nick, that is my message to you. And that will be the concluding words for tonight. Find your inner logs.